So thank you. The next one is Otto, and he wants to understand developer needs, which is understandable after talking for designer needs all the time today. And he's going to talk a little bit about user research in ForgeJo. Take it away, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, we ForgeJo contributors had a nice meeting yesterday, and we might have found the perfect way to integrate design and user research into our issue tracker and organize it in a perfect way. Maybe we'll see. In any case, I will talk about the challenges we are facing, the things we tried, some lessons we learned from that, and how we arrived at the idea that I will present in the end. Yeah, actually, I do have a very technical background, mostly in web development, and I would not consider myself as a designer yet, but I'm definitely becoming a user researcher. And that's primarily because I think that technology sometimes sucks. You agree? Quite some people are laughing, yes. I think some of you agree. In most years, I never really cared about user experience, to be honest, because, it's nice to have, but right after fixing all the bugs, I will get to that later. I will also implement all the features first and maybe fix all the accessibility issues that my software still has, and we can talk about user experience later. But the technical frustration I had with a very specific tool made me look into user research finally. I'm also involved in Codeberg for several years now. Codeberg is providing hosted infrastructure for software development. We decided that Microsoft GitHub is not the right tool to host your free library software project. And it's actually very sad how many free software projects still depend on large monopolies from the large companies of the earth. Some would even say the most evil company of the earth. We offer Git hosting, issue tracking, CI/CD, static pages, replates, translation platform, and much more. We are open to free and library software projects, and we are powered by donations and membership fees of our legal nonprofit association. We have about 1,500 members. Most of them even have voting rights. So we're really basically the opposite of GitHub, but still working on open source software, and also only powered by open source software, which brings me to ForgeJo. ForgeJo is one of our projects. Of course, it's also a real open source community, but it's something that you can host yourself and something that Codeberg hosts. The history of this software project is longer than Codeberg's, but we forked the software over disagreement with the previous upstream. And the nice thing about ForgeJo is that it is a really nice community, a fork is actually a challenge because you proliferate workflow and you say, okay, can't we all agree on the same thing? Can't we collaborate on what we do? But a fork is also a chance to question the established workflows. And the nice thing at ForgeJo is that we did, and we changed a lot of things. We completely stopped depending on proprietary services, like we replaced proprietary CI with a free and library one. We moved the translations from a proprietary platform to library one. This is actually a nice idea. And the next thing that ForgeJo does really nice, they pretty early agreed on doing user research. Actually, before I got involved, someone started doing that. It was stuck for several years, but it was communicating that the ForgeJo contributors are open toward this, which is actually very important to me, because since I've become a member of design and speaking in a non-technical role, I actually see that a lot of developers don't take me seriously, and I'm very happy that at least the ForgeJo core tree team does different. I wanted to get started, and I started reading about design. And user research. And for me, coming from a design background, a lot of terms have been strange. I mean, probably designers don't know what all technical terms mean, and I was confused about user research, user experience, user testing, all these terms. And it's very sad because there are not very much resources on the topic. I'm used to having tons of blog articles that talk about how to do X in this technology, that technology, blah, 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 blah. There's really a lot of resources about how to do technical things. But for free library software, for open source design, I went to the open source design website. There's the resource page, but a lot of links are just down, not found anymore, behind paywalls, And actually, I can recommend the a beginner's guide to finding user needs from Jan Dietrich. It actually helped me a lot. And yeah, it is free and library. And yeah, also a lot of articles kind of start with like, this is how you convince your management to do user experience and user research. This is how you increase your conversion rate, and just feels weird as a free software contributor to see a lot of marketing preface when I just want to know how I actually do it. Yeah, even after reading the book, I was still slightly confused on how I actually get started and what the first step should look like. And there was one very tired on one specific Sunday evening. I was like, okay, maybe I'll just create a Nextcloud calendar appointment. I will just post it on Mastodon and we'll see. So I did, went to sleep. The next morning I woke up and I had a fully booked week, actually. I had about 18 sessions in 1 week, most of them booked overnight. It was definitely a great experience. I can recommend this to you. I was not prepared very well. I just started and improvised, and it went very well. I think that especially the first sessions, they've been very valuable because I learned a lot of things from users. If you're going to do that, I suggest that you focus on like 5 sessions for a start and evolve over time, because I feel like the first sessions have been really valuable and then it started to kind of become less valuable, but still very nice. Yeah, and at this point I want to clarify that when I'm talking about user research, I'm talking about understanding users. And often I don't really know how to turn the things I learned into actual user experience improvement, but that's a separate thing. And even the things I learned about our users have turned out to be very valuable in certain decisions when thinking about like how to place a button. I can't know for sure, but I have a lot of data to back my and to make an opinion, an educated opinion, basically. Yeah, also I've been very surprised during the sessions because, I mean, I had a mental model of a user, like implicitly, I never really considered it, but in my head, all the 4J users kind of looked like me, male, maybe young, somewhat skilled with the technology, and yeah, of course this was partially confirmed during user research, but I was also told different because there are a lot of things that are different, and especially some users really have no clue how to use our software because they're used to other platforms. I never considered that because I knew that people are coming from GitHub, but some people haven't even changed to GitHub yet. They are used to completely different workflows or only work locally, or they're legitimate contributors without any tech background that are just edit the file here, you will figure out your way, but actually file editing in 4J is super complex if you use web UI because it was created with developers in mind and not people who've never used Git. I started evolving the user the things that I did. User testing. I think I did this. Yeah, I did user testing, which basically means I let users use our software and observe with the challenges they see. But I also did user research using other platforms. I think it's really valuable to see users using other products, not only yours. I've seen people using all the source forges on Earth, probably. I have done a lot of interviews just asking about like what are you actually trying to do? How do you organize your project? What would work well for you? And just learning about what they're trying to build. I gave them tasks like just do this and I observe how it does. Like my personal favorite is create an organization and add a user to it. People fail miserably because it's really complicated, but I've learned where users expect how to add a user to the organization because they click somewhere. It does not work, but at least I know this is where users click if they want to solve this task, and maybe I should make it just work the way they expect it. Actually, I even gave users tasks that are impossible or not implemented yet. Of course, I resolved this quickly, but just to see like where would users expect this new functionality to how to work like, and this was also very valuable insights at some points. And the last thing that I did sometimes was like, especially for settings that are really complicated, it was like, okay, imagine you could create the settings and you just, all the checkbox that you have in mind is there. How would it look like? And then they told me how they would configure a project. And of course, it does not work this way, but at least I now have like a mental model of how our users expect their, I don't know, repository settings to work. This is also really valuable.